All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 73 of Artsy Fartsy Immigrants. We are, as you can probably tell, not in the video studio today. Unless you're a blind person, in which case, I hate to break it to you.
Or you just haven't watched our YouTube videos yet, only stayed with the audio episodes. Then we can tell you, go to YouTube, watch our last episode with the gorgeous Georgie Fisher on it.
Dude, I had a lot of fun doing that episode. I think that was, like, we've only done two video ones so far, but I think it was even better than the first one.
Yeah, I think so too.
Georgie had a lot of great answers, a lot of fun, and, you know, if you guys just want to get a taste as well of that, Moritz has so very kindly edited some shorter clips from that episode on not only the M94.5 channel, but on the Artsy Fartsy Immigrants channel. As of today, by the time you guys hear this, it's already going to be out, but we have the Has Georgie Fisher Been Germanized clip online. And on the M94.5 channel, you can check out a segment where she talks about her stalker, which was a great story.
Yeah. This was one of these moments, because you go into such a show as a host and you think, okay, you are prepared. You probably, and that's part of your craft, know what to expect from your, from the people you interview, what they tell you. And it was one of those classic moments where that you couldn't apply that anymore, because your guest was coming up with something you really did not expect.
Yeah, it was completely out of nowhere, and she mentioned it as if everybody has a stalker.
Yeah, like, yeah. How many you had in that? Like,
what? Me? No, nobody's. What are you talking about? She said it as if it's like stamps you have lying on your desk. You know, like, yeah, I had a couple of stalkers lying around the house somewhere, but no big deal.
Yeah. So here we are again on the audio side of Podcast Town, and we're in two completely different towns, and I'm pretty jealous of where you are right now, Mr. Prince.
I was going to say, your surroundings look kind of different. Are you in the office?
I'm in the office, and this is the room where Froni, who was mixing us two times, normally sits. This is one of the greater edit rooms, and it's pretty comfy. Yeah. Also got a couch in here, so you can take a nap around noon.
Yeah, it looks pretty cozy.
No.
Whenever we've had these episodes where we are separated, I'd say half of the time we're both in Munich. We just can't meet since Corona, or because of scheduling conflicts or something, and so we meet over Zoom or Skype. And the other half of the time, one of us is usually in the South. It's either that you are visiting Oberstdorf to your family, or I'm visiting Oberstdorf, and sometimes I'm here where I am today, which is right on the lake, Lake Constance, on the Bodensee.
Yeah.
And it's a very beautiful place.
Yeah. We probably got to post some, when posting about this episode, some pictures from the view you got, etc. It's amazing.
Man, it's a really nice place, and especially this apartment that we're so lucky to be able to stay in. It's really like, you know, it's this top floor. It's looking right over the water. You can see mountains in all three countries, like Switzerland, Austria, Germany, all across the edge.
Yeah.
And it's really like a fantasy film. You just expect to see a dragon soaring over them or something, or like some sort of sea creature to emerge from the deep and like, you know.
Like the monster of Loch.
Like the Loch Ness monster. Yeah.
Loch Ness. Like Loch Stance.
Like Lake Longstance.
Yeah, but what I find super weird to the day is like that on this lake, which is, if you're from Africa or the American continent, not such a huge lake, but still the biggest one in Germany, and it's between Germany, Austria, and Switzerland. And because of Switzerland, that means you have on the lake a water, underwater, a EU, non-EU border. which is super weird.
Oh, yeah, because it was Switzerland, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so weird. That's something I never understood. Maybe we can talk about that for a second, because I think a lot of Americans don't know this, because I also didn't know this for a long time, but that Switzerland is just this weird neutral country right in the center of the EU, and that it doesn't play by anyone else's rules.
No.
Don't they make all their young people like go to the military as well?
Yeah, sure. Like that's not too uncommon. I mean, there are still enough countries within the European Union that also do that. Like Austria, for example, it's direct neighbors, and Germany had that as well until like 10 years ago.
But didn't Germany have that option where you could either go to the military or you could do community service?
I believe in for Austria, I know it's the same. Like you can normally more or less choose whether you want to go to the military or go to community service. And I believe in Switzerland, it's kind of the same.
It's the same deal there.
Yeah. Oh, but there are also countries that are super strict about it, that and that creates super funny stories. I know it from sports with Korea, so obviously South Korea, but they are super strict about their military services. And so it happens from time to time that you have pretty good soccer players that play in Europe that have to leave and stop their career in Europe because they have to go back to Korea and serve in the military.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's wild. That's wild. That kind of makes me think of back in the 50s or so, when people like Elvis and Johnny Cash would leave entertainment to go be in the war. Yeah. Isn't that wild?
Go to Germany.
Yeah, to come to Germany, where they came to tour around beautiful Germany back in the 40s.
Have you?
It's so crazy.
That's one question there. Have you ever kind of lied to someone or joked someone by telling them you're in Germany for another reason than you actually are?
Not that I know of.
Okay.
Why?
Because I thought there could be something you could have some fun with, like trolling people.
Oh, like, just to tell them that I I came here to fight off like neo-Nazis or something. Or just, I just came because I love that beautiful, easy to learn language, you know?
Because I really desperately wanted to get a German driver's license.
Oh yeah, because that's just so easy.
That's why
fun.
I came.
That's
spent
it.
Thousands of euros.
I wonder if I would have come here, like other than for love. What I'm trying to think of, like what a reason would have been to come. I could imagine that I could have been a college student traveling the EU as so many young Americans do, and then coming across Germany. But I don't know upon first impressions if it would have been the first country that I would have wanted to stay in. I probably would have been one of those dudes who was like, oh, Spain is so great, or Italy, but then would have realized that it's not the most profitable place to live in. It's more of like a vacation-y, summer, warm, like relaxing place to be, Italy.
Yeah, like we had that on the episode with Basti, like moving to Portugal and realizing that the economy there is pretty weak and they're paying super low wages, etc.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like that. It's like that. Yeah. Go ahead.
But I think probably sometimes, and maybe you can agree on that, you need a certain occasion, because as far as I know, all in all, besides you're a bit homesick, you enjoy living here.
Yeah.
But I guess it wouldn't have happened without like the occasion that you're in love with a German woman.
Right.
And probably sometimes you need that certain occasion to really give another place or maybe another city, another country, whatever, the time to really like get to know it and enjoy it there.
Yeah, I think that's totally true. You know, if I wasn't, I don't want to say the word like stuck, but if, you know, there's if you come for a reason, then you make the effort to stay for that reason. And when you are staying there, then you have the opportunity to see every angle and every, like you said, like every feature of it that maybe you didn't anticipate before. Like I wouldn't have known before coming here that Germany has really great, distinct seasons. Like I think winter's a bit too long. But
especially this year.
Oh my God, man. And May was only rain, but like except for the past maybe 16, 17 months or so, usually what I've experienced is a very clean, great, distinct summer, very distinct fall, a little bit too long, but totally fine winter, and then a really clear spring, like the flowers blooming, the bugs are buzzing. You know, you really see each individual thing. And the funny thing about Germans is they have the a really particular outfit for each season. And you can always tell what season it is when you see like the Almans walking around. Like they have like, you know, this colorful windbreaker and the hiking boot. You're like, oh, well, it's springtime, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't think I have, I have stuff for summer and stuff for kind of fall to winter.
Yeah, but you, but you're a younger person. I think it's changing so much now from maybe like 30 and under. It's more about just being stylish, and you have your own style. And I see like the younger people at the station don't always match. And I try to have kind of my own style, but sometimes it's like not matching. But I guess it's just more of these, because there is this German, it's hard to describe, but not Alman. That's kind of, it's almost like a, it's
probably
kind
we
of
have
insult.
To explain that term our non-German listeners.
Yeah. Why don't you do it?
Yeah. Like Alman has become, like a term in mostly in meme culture, et cetera. Regarding Germans from an immigrant perspective, like in Turkish, for example, Germany is called Almanya.
And that's really?
Where the Almans come from. Yeah, that's where the Almans come from.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
And it's just kind of like stereotype, just like you would have with in the US with, I don't know, the middle class,
so
suburban.
It's like rednecks and
suburban
Yankees.
Mom, like the Karen or something.
The Karen,
like,
yeah, that's, yeah.
Yeah, it's like people that probably have a non-German background or ancestors like look on German people that do like really German things, like eating a lot of spargel, wearing like beige, like you said,
very practical clothing.
Yeah,
it's very practical clothing. That's really specific, I think. It's kind of like saying redneck almost. For a certain type of Southern guy,
with a little sweeter touch, probably, because I think redneck has this that pretty.
It can be more insulting,
harsh intention or touch with it.
But Alman is kind of just like a little
cuter,
a little stiffy, little, you know, German, you know, classic German.
Yeah,
that's a good point. Yeah, how did we get to that with Alman? Was we just before that?
We were talking about seasons, practical clothes.
Yeah. Oh, something about just the reason, I guess it was just like reasons we would, things we like about Germany, but that the, oh man, it just slipped. I had something.
Things that you wouldn't have recognized or anticipated about Germany if you wouldn't have come because of love.
Yeah, basically. I mean, that's the whole thing really, is that Germany has this, I mean, like you said, like, you know, of course, like these days right now, I'm a bit more homesick just because I didn't have the chance to go home. And thankfully, I do have this really crazy sort of spontaneous trip next week to go back to New Orleans.
Dude, true. It's already next week.
Yeah, it happened crazy. Really fast, man. It's a week from today.
When's your flight?
It's in the like noon on the 8th.
Okay. So next Tuesday. Okay.
Yeah. And I had a thought, actually. I'm gonna try and do some interviews while I'm there, maybe on one day.
That'd be cool, and it would be our if we can arrange a call. It would be our first transatlantic remote episode.
Ooh, an artsy abroad. I'm gonna put that down. That'd be a cool one. Yeah, an artsy abroad would be perfect. And then I also thought about doing some interviews with. Like a bunch of different friends, and trying to get some blanket statement perspectives on how Americans view Germany, especially what's even better is if they've never traveled there. You know, I know that my friend Vivi's been here before, but I think if I were to ask her what comes to mind when she thinks of Germany, she would say Kindermilch, or Tendermilch, the chocolate tender milk.
Kinder.
Kinder. Not Kinder.
But that's is actually an Italian company. Did you know that?
Kinder is an Italian company?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't know that. Didn't know that either. And she would think of probably like pretzels, you know, the bread. And then I wonder what my friend Matt might say. He might say Ensign comes to mind, you know? So I'm curious about that. I thought about that for the Ego show to try and get some little stories or perspectives on Germany, but it's going to be a really fun time. And
nice.
And despite that trip sort of connecting to that homesickness, there is a lot of stuff, of course, about Germany that I do like. And I talked to my parents a few days ago, and they talked about, I mean, my dad always mentions things about wanting us to move back there, and you know,
does.
He of course my parents want us to live in America, you know. And he
But has it ever been an option for you guys? Or a thought, at least?
We've obviously talked about what's realistic for that. And if it ever came to a point where I just straight up told her that I can't do it here anymore, then mm-hmm. it would be seriously discussed. I don't know where we would go or how we would do it. But I think the problem that I have most with the idea of moving back to America is that despite whatever issues I might have with Germany as an immigrant, and like we talked about with Georgie, I can't really complain too much. Like, I'm here, so you know, there's more to like than to dislike, but I'm probably just more negative in general because I haven't been home in a while. But the things that I like the most in comparison that would be really hard to go back to is like the social protection and the social structures. Like when I think about how complicated or not, how the health insurance system and the unemployment system and the tax system and the employment protection and the vacations,
no.
How that has benefited me as an employee to the country of Germany for 5 years now it's not comparable to going back home to America. Like one of the bigger differences on the plus side, if we were to go back, is that, you know, in Munich it's so expensive and it's you can't imagine renting a normal sized house, much less buying a house. But then you look at my brother, who moved like 25-30 minutes outside of Nashville and bought this humongous, beautiful home with multiple rooms and a front yard and a backyard, you know, garden, attic, basement, garage, like the works, you know, a house that here in Munich would be like 7 or 8 million euros.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
But for him there, obviously was a lot, but with you know, a proper loan and with his credit and stuff, he was able to buy it. Yeah. Definitely not for a million, you know, like a much more reasonable amount that he can pay off.
Yeah.
And for us, that's just so crazy. And if we think about like, oh, well, how nice would it be to go to America and be near a good school and buy a house with a garden and have a dog and have like the whole picture, you know, the picturesque thing. At the same time, it's like, well, could we afford our health insurance? Could we afford, you know, a mortgage and afford, you know, I wouldn't want to just have, if I had to end up working somewhere else or doing, maybe for example, like working at a different radio station.
No.
I don't think I could live going back to having 2 weeks of vacation in 1 year. You know, my brother and my dad both have really like high profile, good paying jobs. Mm-hmm. My dad has 2 weeks of vacation in a whole year.
So that's like 10 days.
Yeah. And then he has Thanksgiving, he has like maybe one day. Christmas, he has like 3 or 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember going, the last time I went home for Christmas around that time, I remember thinking, on, like, it was like maybe the 27th or 28th, he was back at work. And I was like, wait, you're not off through the new year? Like, I just didn't think about that. And he's like, no, of course not, son. Like, we have to work.
Yeah.
And here, that's just wild to think about, that you don't go home from, I don't know, 22 or 23 at least.
And all these public holidays you have.
And the public holidays in Bavaria just alone.
Like, we got to talk about that, because when this episode comes out Thursday, it's going to be one again. And so, like, last week was one, and the week before also, and the first week of May also. So it's like within around 1 month, like 4 weeks that are already a work day shorter because of public holidays.
Yeah. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. No. The benefits are just so much better here, despite what I might miss about living back home. So, of course, we talk about how much time per year could we spend there? What's realistic for my parents to fly and visit? What's realistic to see my brother? He's going to have a kid soon. How often can we see the kid? And so it's a tough sort of turning point at my age where I am in life and everything. Cause you know, a lot of things are changing and work is getting more, like serious. And I'm thinking more about the future now and where we want to live and how we want to do it. Like, you know, my dad wants us to get a house and preferably get a house in the States. Efi's dad is pushing that we get a house, but obviously a house closer to them in Oberstdorf.
Yeah, I see.
And it's like, what the hell are we supposed to do? You know, what are we supposed to do?
Get a house roundabout in the middle so you'll move to Iceland.
Yeah, exactly. Come on, guys. We did a compromise both ways. Come visit us.
Yeah. Best of both worlds.
It's like every parents just want their kids to basically move in next door.
Yeah, but regarding the like house price, etc., I guess the main point is that building and constructing in Germany is way more expensive than in the States, because there are so many more rules and regulations.
So many rules, yeah.
And people you have to come in to check again and pay them, etc., etc. So yeah, but that's tough, and yeah, sure. Like Munich is pretty expensive. The Allgäu is also not one of the cheaper regions where you could find a house or a spot to build one.
Yeah, I think as with most places, probably if you're in Europe, if you're wealthy, you can live anywhere. In the States, if you're wealthy, you can live anywhere, but they also encourage you to go into debt, so that if you're not rich, you can still think that you can live anywhere, but then you're paying off so much money and you're kind of stuck, you're kind of trapped.
That's one thing talking about what I still don't get to the day, and I had this, I wanted to ask Georgie this, but I didn't know how to bring it up, because we had this with both guests we had from Australia, so like Georgie and Kobe,
right?
Kobe Grant. And also with you, like probably stuff like, okay, building a house in Germany is way more expensive than it could be within certain states in the US, but so many other things are so over the top expensive, like what I've heard from people like in Australia or in the States, and that it's so normal that you go so deep into debt. So everyone has tens of thousands of debt somewhere, or hundreds of thousands, and that that comes a lot into the account regarding education, etc., that you don't have in that amount here, but.
That's another thing, the education, yeah.
I still find it so crazy that, I don't know, it's completely normal as far as I've heard it for, I don't know, a young American or Australian person in their mid-20s to probably already have $100,000 in debt or something.
Yeah. I mean, by the time I was 25, because of going to college, I was circulating around $60,000 in debt.
No.
You know, and that's still being, I mean, that didn't just go away. It is still something.
Yeah,
It is still something being paid off, of course, through a different circumstances than it would have been. You know, the curse, the real devil of it is that these loans make you think that they're the only option, and they really loop you into it. And then you don't realize until you take a look at it later with hindsight or clearer vision, that some of these loans that you're paying off are upwards of 12.5% interest.
Yeah.
12 or 13% interest, which is so evil, man.
Yeah.
You know, we were paying, like, before we found out a new strategy to pay it off that's way more way more reasonable, we were just straight up, like, me and my parents were negotiating things every month to pay off these loans, and we were paying, like, I don't know, 300, 400, maybe more a month, and that we didn't realize that we were doing that for years, and that was just keeping us at zero. We were paying that to be at zero.
Yeah.
So how are you ever supposed to pay this off?
Yeah.
And by the end, like, I think the loan amount in total that I needed to go to school was somewhere probably around 25 or 30,000. But because of the interest rate on two different loans, one was 7%, one was 13%.
Ooh.
Those combinations had us paying like 60,000, like what, like triple what I would have needed to go to school.
That's ridiculous.
It's unbelievable, dude. And, you know, I'm really glad that circumstances changed, and that's, you know, that's more personal stuff about how we worked things out and found a new way to pay it off. It is still being paid off. It's not like it just went away, but it is thankfully under the guise of a German system now and not under an American system, because it's way more reasonable to pay it off at a 1% interest rate now, as opposed to 13 and 7 combined. You know, it's the devil, dude. And this education system, it's so destructive. And when you watch these documentaries about how America is so split and divided between, like, people making wearing masks political and getting a vaccine, making that political, and, you know, voting for people who promise to make you money, and you go for that despite them being like obvious, destructive, manipulative, disgusting human beings who will hurt the earth in a whole. And, you know, capitalist companies taking advantage of taking advantage of their clients and abusing the system entirely and paying a fraction or even no state income tax whatsoever. CEO benefits just went up despite the global pandemic crumbling the economy. It's like, I don't even have the vocabulary to be able to describe how awful of a state America's systems are in. And yet they convince people through advertisement and through the comfort of convenience that everything's just fine. And it's very easy for people to just say, it's fine. It's not my problem. You know?
Yeah. But I think it is. Obviously, there are a lot of things you can compare one to one, but in the general state of how bad things are in certain like parts of society or the state in terms of people, a lot of people living together in one system, there are also so many things really fucked up in Germany. But I think also in education, I think probably the compromise works a little bit better, and so it's easier, because you also have so many, many kids that have no chance to get where other kids get, that just have a better financial background with their parents or whatsoever, or their parents are already better educated.
In America, you mean? Or
In Germany, you have that as well. It's not that obvious, because it's not, okay, either you pay like X amount of thousands of dollars to get a proper education. If you're not capable, you won't get it. Mm-hmm. Like, the compromise seems to work a little bit better, but still there. And you have that as well. American companies not paying taxes, like Amazon pays 0.05% taxes in Germany.
Amazon pays zero taxes in Germany?
Like 0.05%. Like, that would make, when we talk about $500,000, it would be $500.
That's what I'm talking about, man.
Yeah.
That's what, I mean, of course, you know, I don't want any Americans to listen and say that I'm sitting here as some like thumb up my own ass sort of pretentious guy who's like, oh, I live in Europe now, so America just sucks. Like,
no.
You're right, Mo. Those problems aren't just specific to America at all.
No.
At all. There are so many corrupt things all over the world. But there are just these little European systems, like, I don't know, especially just...
No.
I think what I'm trying to say is, even though a huge part of my heart will always be in America and American culture and American people and the food and like New Orleans and the wide open roads and all that stuff, I love it. I really love it. And the music and the movies and everything. But I'm just so lucky, like privileged, to have been able to be exposed to how a society can function in Germany. And I've had this discussion before with my dad where I told him once, I don't understand why America can't just be okay with paying slightly higher taxes as a whole, including that wonderful 1%. So that America can have free education and better health and universal health care. And, you know, people in America are taught to believe that that is wrong. Because if they think it's wrong, then the companies make way more money, you know?
But that's a problem we have in common. We really still don't get to a point where we can probably tax the super rich, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Like what Biden's trying to do at the moment.
Right. Yeah. I'm sure that won't go through with him and AOC fighting to tax the 1%. I'm sure it won't go through because they've just been winning for so long.
No. But what could be a real difference probably, and that probably has a lot to do with history, is the narrative and like what sits with people in their minds and what they're told over generations.
Yeah.
And that probably is that I have a feeling like regarding patriotism that many Americans feel more like, okay, the system we run here must be the best in the world. And you probably have that a little less in Germany because of the history. and
what
because
history?
you have so many other countries that also all in all might have their issues, but kind of work directly around you, so many different ones.
Yeah. I mean, you're 100% right. It's this false identity associated with patriotism that really keeps people from living their best life. I mean, just to finish that thought, when I told my dad that I don't understand why America doesn't do that, he laughed and he said, well, son, Germany's a very small country. And for me, that was kind of funny because it makes it sound like he didn't realize that America is one of the only countries in the whole world that doesn't do that.
Mm.
And it showed me that argument that I'm trying to make is kind of useless, because his response to that was a little chuckle at how small Germany is as a country. But he doesn't realize that every other country does that. Almost every single, it's like 170 countries do that, and America doesn't. And it was just like this, I didn't realize until I moved away, and maybe this is one of those pretentious things, but like I didn't realize until I moved away how kind of naive, intense American patriotism is, or for that matter, any sort of country-specific patriotism, because it's really not about my country being better than any other country. It should be about like, am I insured? Is my family protected? Okay, check that box. Can we get education, and can the country provide that education so we can have better jobs, more smart people, improve things around the globe, et cetera, check. You know, can we have a fluid workflow where people don't get stressed out and like work themselves to death like people do in these Amazon factories in the States, where they do like 10 hours on their feet with 15-minute lunch breaks.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you know, if people work in these Amazon factories and they have these timers associated with their hand scanners, and if they don't scan something within 5 minutes constantly for that 10-hour shift, then the supervisor has the right to come in and fire them on the spot.
What?
Yeah. So they have 15 minutes break, a 30-minute lunch, and a 10-hour shift on their feet where they're not allowed to sit. And if they're not scanning something within five minutes, if they go 5 minutes without scanning something, they have the right to be fired on the spot. And imagine that pressure and that fear as an employee, because you want to get, I don't know what it is, $15 an hour.
But they
have these jobs and they still can't raise the minimum wage. I got paid, dude, this is the, maybe I'm really going off the deep end now, but like, what you know about rolling down? But like, I went working at a cafe here in Munich, like the first one, Malefitz Cafe, that nice coffee place. I made more money there making coffee and I had more vacation time and more flexibility, and my insurance was covered at a cafe.
Yeah.
More, and that was all things I didn't have working at delis, restaurants, cafes, furniture stores, all these jobs I had in America, all of them didn't do any of that. I was insured through my parents who paid.
Because they don't have to.
They have, they'll tell you that that's a socialist, whatever, which is so dumb. They'll say that's socialism, and they'll say that you should be able to choose your own provider. Don't you want the freedom as an American to have the option? That's what America is, baby.
Yeah.
And then you're paying way more money for a lower, then you're paying deductibles at the doctor. You're paying like co-pays for a dentist appointment. And here it's like, hey, you have a job, you're paying taxes. We'll cover your doctor's appointment. We'll cover your dentist appointment if you need to go. You can have some vacation. You can enjoy the job. We want you to come in rested and ready to go.
Yeah.
And you can pay your rent and still have money on the side to buy some shit if you want it, you know?
Yeah.
And that's the thing. That's what keeps me from thinking about America.
And that's something that works pretty good in Germany. Like talking about that, don't you want to have the freedom to choose your own provider? That is still the case. Like in Germany, when you're employed somewhere, you choose an insurance company. And no matter what company you choose, obviously you can't choose any like coverage you want. But regarding in that certain packages, you can choose your provider and your employer, no matter if it's this one company or the other, has to pay half of it.
Right.
And that's super cool. But
and that's super
the issues
cool.
you describe with the Amazon workers, like we have that as well here, just a bit shifted.
How so?
Example with Amazon. I saw a longer documentary just the other day about the truck drivers for Amazon in Germany.
Mm.
And the thing is, these are mostly not German drivers, because then they, I'm not sure if I can give that 100% right, but then they probably would have issues that they would have to pay them properly, etc. Just like you mentioned, the stuff you got to do. But it's like a European network, and they bring in people from like poorer East European countries and employ them under conditions that you shouldn't be able to employ someone in Germany, but since they're on the road and they come from another country, Amazon makes deals that work probably in other countries and to the day manages to still let those people drive for with awful conditions. Like that, those were images. Like in one of these, what do you call them? These like logistics centers where all packages come in and being spread in, I don't know, for a circle for around 300 kilometers or something.
Yeah, like the distribution warehouses.
Yeah, exactly. And the camera team was coming up there and was just filming a line of like 30 trucks or something, like the huge ones. And the drivers, and then they asked, okay, why do you stand here? What are you waiting for? And as far as I remember, the issue was somehow that like they were, because of COVID or something, like two less people working inside a distribution center to pack every truck on time. And so they had to wait there for days and they didn't get any form of like a flat or hotel room to stay, no running water, no bed,
oh my God.
No toilets. And that's also happening in Germany. It's probably not happening in the businesses and job opportunities like guys like you and me get, but they rather bring in, like across Europe, bring in people from poorer countries that probably even more depend on a little money.
Right.
And make these horrible deals with them.
I mean, it's funny. That's such a similarity like with Germany or with Central Europe and how they take advantage of Eastern Europeans.
No.
Like the Slovenians and the Polish.
No.
And it's exactly the same thing that America does with Mexicans.
No.
The exact same thing. Like all the cleaning ladies that I've ever known or met in Germany are mostly, if not all, under the table Polish women. And
yeah.
It's really similar to how any cleaning lady or any gardener or anything you ever see in America, especially in the South, is going to be, under the table Mexican worker. And that's also something that's really similar. And I wonder how the treatment of them differs, honestly. But it's really crazy to see that even in a country like Germany, that it's the same kind of game there.
Yeah.
I think that's really interesting to me that social structure still exists. It's just a different country.
Yeah.
That's really crazy.
Yeah. I guess the main difference is the employers or company which want, in quotation marks, want to exploit people.
Right.
Like have to dig a bit deeper to find the loopholes to do so. And can't just do it and say, yeah, it's America. It's like my freedom of choice.
Right, right.
Like there are probably a little more rules and regulation they have to come across or to find a loophole within. But yeah, the issues still exist. Like you mentioned, I grew up with this. Like growing up in Oberstdorf, the whole region feeds from tourism and there are a lot of jobs that are, and we see that now at gastronomy, like restaurants, hotels, cafes opening again, and all these places struggling to get their former employees back because many of them had to find other jobs during the pandemic.
Yeah.
And won't come back because these are mostly shitty paid jobs. And then they got this cool thing called Kurzarbeit, like where you get like 60% of your...
You kind of burped through that. What he said was...
Sorry.
Kurzarbeit.
Sorry, Kurzarbeit. Excuse me. I'm so sorry.
Well, it's called a Kurzarbeit. And just for people like my mom, it's a Kurz, short, Arbeit is work. So short work.
Yeah. And that's basically just a system where partly your employer, partly the state of Germany, like paid people during the pandemic like 60% of their former wage.
Their wage. Our drummer Mark, he was on Kurzarbeit for the music store he works at. He didn't really go in maybe once a week or something, but he got 60% or whatever of his wage.
And the thing is, for most people working in restaurants, hotels, etc., that was super shitty because they often get more money from tips than from their actual wage, etc., etc. So like there are a lot of shitty paid jobs in like hotels, restaurants, etc. And I grew up in a region where there are a lot of them because big touristic region.
Yeah.
And so there always would come in beginning of the season lots and lots of people from like Romania, Slovenia, Poland, wherever.
Right.
Who did these kind of jobs.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's pretty similar.
I've heard that the tourism is coming back to Oberstdorf now. Have you seen it recently?
Yeah, I've been there last week. Was it last week or the week before? I'm not sure. It was the week before.
It was the week before, yeah.
Like the weekend before the one that's just over. On that Saturday it was, or Friday, it kind of started with like, okay, restaurants could open their like the terraces, etc., and first hotels were allowed to have tourists. Mm-hmm. And it was crazy because on that Saturday, because for month and month, like it was a ghost town regarding what you're used to. And then on this Saturday, it was crazy, like in terms of it was so many cars coming in, so many people. So yeah, I think over the summer, there's going to be loads and loads of people coming to the Algo region.
Oh man, I think it's going to be crazy.
Yeah.
I remember, go ahead.
And I want to, I'm pretty curious what happens, because have you heard of that, of what happened in Sylt?
No, what happened there?
Okay, Sylt.
And for
also
those who don't know, that's very, very, very northern.
Exactly. That's where Adrama Mark comes from to bring
that's
him
right.
in again. And like Oberstdorf and Allgäu region is the southernmost region of Germany. This is like an island or half an island, whatever, in the very, very north, the North Sea. Also pretty big touristic area, this island. And they were kind of a prototype region to bring back tourism over spring. And in the beginning, it looked like it worked out pretty well. But then from some point on, like, people really were not giving a shit anymore about any COVID rules, etc. And like their incidence went back up to over 300 and lots of COVID cases.
What?
And that really didn't work out that well like they expected. So since that is also a big touristic region, I don't know how much you can compare it, but I'm pretty curious what will happen in Oberstdorf when so many people go there for holidays again.
When was that? When did the outbreak happen again?
In Sylt, like over the last few weeks, like there were this prototype region over the spring, and yeah, work out that great. So we'll see what happens.
I'm glad
there.
Mark wasn't visiting home.
we gotta ask him. But I'm talking about like everything opening up again. I'm like every day I'm so impressed by what happens in the US because we talked a lot about my affinity to basketball, and it's the NBA playoffs. And so every day I'm watching games, and it's crazy. Like yesterday, I watched the first game where they had a stadium at full capacity again, like 18,000 people in a closed room.
They had 18,000 people back in the stadium like normal?
Yeah.
Oh my God, what? I didn't know they were doing that already.
Yeah, like most arenas all over the US, like slowly go back to full capacity. And that's crazy.
That's really wild. I see. I thought they were going to still do like 25% for the rest of this year or something.
Yeah, like at the moment, there are differences. Like some stadiums in, I thought it was in the West, like still were running at like, okay, yeah, like 25% or 20%. And some are back to full houses, and it's so crazy to me because like you sit here and you still can't, I still can't kind of realize that we're told this should be over soon. Like I still don't want to believe it because
right.
like there were already so many moments where you thought, okay, from now on it will get better, and it did not.
It didn't, yeah.
Then you turn on the TV and you see those full stadiums, and yeah, and it's especially because it's a closed room. It's not like a football stadium.
Right.
Where
it's open air. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm really curious how that's going to pan out for them. I mean, because you have so many people, you know, they have this vaccine law now where you don't have to wear a mask. You know, there's no mask mandate if you're vaccinated, but there's a lot of people, a lot of perhaps I could be as bold as to say a lot of MAGA hat wearers who don't want to get vaccinated.
No.
So they just say, oh, I was. That's it. That's all. It's fine. And then they don't want to wear a mask. So I'm really curious how these, you know, 18,000 people packed stadiums are going to go down when you have obviously a handful of people who don't want to get vaccinated in it.
Yeah, until next week, I gotta read some things about, because I know nothing about how they, how it works. Like, do you have to bring in a test? Do you have to bring in any confirmation about your vaccination status or whatsoever?
I'm very curious about that.
I don't know. I gotta check that. I probably can give you an update next week.
Yeah, I'm curious what's gonna happen because I know, like, I mean, even I've been talking to you about it a little bit, that we had a couple of our very first concert options this year. There's two in July that I've been spoken to about. Not sure. One of them might work out. One of them might not work out. But I'm really, I mean, of course, I'm excited to, well, there's two things about it. I'm, of course, I'm excited to even see an offer. I haven't even seen an offer in, you know, over a year. But on the other side, like, part of me doesn't really trust that it's safe, even though I am fully vaccinated. But maybe it's going to be fine. Maybe it's just going to be selective people, and then it's going to be, you know, separated. I don't know the details yet. And then the other part of me, I spoke to Cosma Joy about this, my friend and collaborator, and I told her that part of me also, it doesn't really feel totally ready.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it would already be next month, and I haven't played my own songs in God knows how long, you know?
Yeah.
And that's not even going for like you or Mark who, you know, understandably also haven't played my songs, but like I will have to go back and remember my own chords and lyrics and like,
yeah.
Can I still sing? Can I still play this stuff? Like, what's the situation here? I don't, you know, it's very confusing.
Yeah.
I'm very torn on the whole thing.
Yeah, I imagine that as a pretty weird situation. On the one hand, this month, we shouldn't understate that. This month, your album will be coming out, and probably at the same time, you don't feel like you're capable of performing the songs that people are going to listen to for the first time.
For sure, for sure. I mean, the album comes, yeah, so today's the first. It comes out in 15 days. It comes out on June 16th.
Woo-hoo.
And, you know, you'll be able to, I mean, for those who want to, you can, of course, you can pre-order it and you can get some signed merch and stuff. But in addition to that, it's really weird for me to imagine that I would have this new album out and then I would have to go perform it.
No.
Or that, you know, it used to be that I would get to perform it, but now it would be that I have to perform it. And I just, I don't know. Because with Corona, it felt like it lasted so long that my entire creative process morphed into audio, you know? Like after, like when Corona started, we started doing weekly episodes of this show. You remember how long ago that was?
Yeah, yeah.
We started doing weekly episodes that were just called the Corona Special, and it ended up being our normal episode regimen forever.
We couldn't call it a special after like 6 weeks or something.
Yeah, exactly. So we started doing that, and then it was like, oh, I'm gonna get really invested into the podcast. Oh, we can start doing video episodes soon. Oh, now I have a radio show. Oh, yeah. Now I'm doing voiceover work. Oh, now I'm hosting some Sony jobs over Zoom for bigger bands, to, you know, doing Q&A. That's really fun. And my whole life just became only focusing on that and taking a little mental break from music because there was nothing I could do. And now to imagine going back to like fighting for the stage or whatever, you know, or just being on stage in general, I'm going to have to really mentally prepare myself for that.
But do you have any regrets in terms of, oh, I could have used all of that time during the pandemic for so much songwriting, becoming a better instrumentalist, singer, whatever?
No.
But that's a good thing, I guess, if you don't have those regrets.
No, I think it wasn't that I wasted the time at all. I think I got much better at, being, it's funny to say it, but I got better at being a talker. You know, I got better, like, I think the podcast got better. I think being able to host this radio show, I think each episode, it just gets better. I think learning how to tell stories is important. And I think learning how to kind of be able to edit yourself and to have thoughts flow in a cohesive way, this sentence not being a great example. I think it's just, you know, it's also a skill and a tool, and I've been making money from that tool, and that's something that I can't say about music in the last year and a half. That I made no money from music in the last year and a half. So being able to hone a skill and make kind of a living from it has been a blessing, and I don't regret not doing more with music. But I also think when you have nothing going on, it's really hard to find that motivation.
Yeah, you
know? Yeah. No live streams. You know, just a couple of little singles here and there, no concerts. Cosma had the same experience. A few other musician friends of mine had the same experience with nothing to get the fire lit under their ass, you know?
Yeah, yeah, sure.
There's no motivation to sit down and like write songs, like challenging songs, you know?
Yeah, but I really feel that. Like, look, like I could have also started like
last month in May to practice your songs again, knowing that your album will come out and that there will be a realistic chance of playing shows somewhere throughout this summer or fall.
Yeah.
But yeah. I also still haven't, because there's not this concrete or this specific occasion that gives you the motivation to be ready for a certain point, date, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's just when you don't have this locked down excuse or reason or goal in mind, then it's really it's hard to get motivated. That's why with audio stuff, I feel like I've been more motivated. We've had a deadline every week. We're going to put out a show. We're not going to break that rule.
Yeah.
Whether or not I can do it or you can do it, we're going to make a show happen. And with ego, like planning out shows and making stories and making themes, I have to have a show recorded for them every week.
Yeah.
You know, can't miss that. And you know, with these hosting gigs, like, there's money and there's deadlines and it's kind of fun to do it. And that's where all my energy and attention has been the last year. So to open it up that space again for music, I think will be a challenge.
Yeah. I'm thinking about bringing back that motivation by ordering that amplifier we talked about.
Oh man, I think you should do it. I think you should do it. I mean, maybe you should just already get it and then get used to it before the real rehearsals start.
Yeah, that's what I thought about, because so you people out there cannot notice. So like, I play bass for the Jordan Prince bands for 2 years now, but we or over 2 years, but we haven't obviously played in a long while.
Long time.
To the day, I still don't own. I own a pretty cool bass, but no amplifier. And we also had to arrange some things, like borrowing something somewhere else, etc. And now I thought, okay, now when probably there is a chance that we play shows again, probably even a tour at some point, which would be so great. Like, it would really make sense now to get an own amplifier. And now I thought about ordering one for when we have a certain date to practice together, to try it out there, because with this one music store you can order gear, try it for 30 days, and if you don't like it or whatever, you can send it back. And then I thought about, yeah, but I gotta practice for these rehearsals first, because I don't know any of the songs, and I also don't have an amplifier for that.
Yeah, I don't have, I mean, I'm gonna have to really get back into using this this amp that I have at home. Like, I haven't touched my electric, my pedals, my amp in so long. Like, I have to get used again to what a delay pedal can do and how much distortion to use on this and how much, you know, do I, a chorus pedal or boost or whatever. Oh, do I need new strings or, you know, like, I'm going to have to get one of these nice guitar cleaner cloths and brushes and like make sure everything is really nice and clean and get it tuned. And then I'm going to have to start practicing, because it looks like next month could have one, could have two shows, and then, you know, maybe my booking guy has some opportunities for later in the year as well.
That'd be cool.
That's the cool thing.
And next year, we should play a tour.
If we can, we should. Yeah, if there's gigs to play, we should play them.
But I guess I must say, like, we only talk about it, and I'm pretty fired up already. Like, I always like memorize like certain moments we had on different stages. Like, I think about Grubengroove or Brighton or other stages where we played, and I wanna get that feeling back, like staying there, nailing a song and just enjoying it with you guys.
Oh man, I love that feeling when
the band flows. Everything connects.
Yeah. Yeah. That is that magic, indescribable thing. Like, when you're in this moment of a song and everyone is really in sync unconsciously, that's like a really magical thing. And one of my favorite moments is when the group has been announced and, you know, maybe the drummer goes up already, maybe you go up already. And then there's just that little 2 seconds where I'm looking at the black, you know, steel removable steps to the stage and you hear the buzz of a crowd, small or big, and you feel the warmth of the lights and you have your bottle of water in your hand. and you just have this thing of like, oh, like, here we go.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then you walk out and you just feel that tension and that heat, and that it's so, that is like one of the greatest feelings ever.
Yeah.
It's really fun. I mean, I talked to my booking guy not too long ago, and he said that this year looked pretty bad, but I don't know, two gigs have already come to me since the vaccinations became more accessible for everybody. So maybe it changes for him. Maybe we'll start hearing about things soon.
Yeah, hopefully.
Could be.
We'll see.
Well, nice, man. I think I'm going to wrap it up there. I'm just going to write that down. Concerts for next year. Great. And this was really fun, man. And I hope that you don't work too hard this week in the office.
Dude, like I said, Thursday is going to be a public holiday. So nice. It's like today, everything's working fine. I'm having the pleasure to talk to you, etc.
Yeah, this was great.
And so everything fine. I hope you enjoy Lake Constance. Do you plan on jumping inside of it?
Man, I gotta tell you, I'm thinking about it for tomorrow because it's supposed to finally be like 25 degrees.
Yeah.
And I have to say we've been very lucky. I haven't seen any clouds since we got here, and the afternoons are very hot. I've been getting nice little sunburns. I don't get tan. it's been really nice and really hot. And yesterday we walked down to the water, and it's down there by the water where you really feel if it's windy or cold. And dude, we just stuck like one toe into the water. And you just imagined that when you press it, that ice cracks around your foot. It's so cold. The water is so cold. But I'm thinking maybe Wednesday, it's going to be the hottest day. And if it's a clean hot day, I might just go for it. Just splash in and get out.
No.
That invigorating like polar bear feeling, like, you know?
Nice.
I'll let you know.
Yeah, man. Enjoy your time there and see and hear you next week.
See you, buddy.
Oh, yeah. What a wonderful episode. If you enjoyed today's episode and you like our show, please go to Apple Podcasts, give us a subscription or a review or a comment. It really helps new listeners find our show. You can also follow us on Instagram at Artsy Fartsy Immigrants. We're also now on Facebook and on YouTube and on Twitter at Fartsy Artsy. No, at Artsy Fartsy Pod. We changed it, at Artsy Fartsy Pod. Woo! So, yes, and if you want to financially support the show, you can go to patreon.com/JordanPrince, and where you can submit for as low as $3 a month some money to help us get this show bigger and better just for you. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Look out, baby. The Saints are coming.
Artsy Fartsy Immigrants, ein Podcast von Jordan Prince und Moritz Batscheider, produziert für M94.5.